in him there is no darkness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to suffer and die for us and to give us the hope of eternal life with you. Now speak, God, for we're listening today to you to hear a word from you. Speak it into our hearts. Speak light, Lord Jesus. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And today my sermon title, it ties into the children's moment, and certainly for the scripture today, the gospel scripture is about light, salt and light, but certainly it is about what we should do as Christian believers. And so my sermon title is Carry the Light. We need to be carrying this light that is in us. And so let me begin with a reflection that is titled, An Iranian Minister Risks His Life to Share Christ. Michael Ramsden, a co-worker with Ravi Zacharias, well-known Christian apologist, well-known, shared the following true story about a minister from Iran. As the minister was driving with his wife, they stopped in a small Iranian village to purchase some water. Before entering, the minister noticed a man holding a machine gun and leaning against the wall outside the store. The minister's wife looked at the man's face and the gun, then put a Bible in her husband's hand and said, "Give that man this Bible." Her husband looked at the man, his menacing beard and his machine gun, and replied, "I don't think so." But she persisted, "I'm serious. Give it to him. Please give him the Bible." Trying to avoid the issue, the husband says, "Okay, I'll pray about it." He went into the shop, purchased the water, climbed back into the car, and started to drive away. His wife looked at him and said, "I guess you didn't give him the Bible, did you?" Looking straight ahead, he replied, "No, I prayed about it, and it wasn't the right thing to do." She quietly said, "You should have given him the Bible." And then she bowed her head and started praying. At that moment, he turned around and told his wife, "Fine, if you want me to die, I will." When the minister returned to the store, the man with the machine gun was still standing against the wall. The minister approached him and placed the Bible in his hand. When the man opened it and saw it was a Bible, he started to cry. "I don't live here," he said. "I had to walk for 3 days in order to get to this village. But 3 days ago, an angel appeared to me and told me to walk to this village and wait until someone had given me the book of life. Thank you for giving me this book." The minister became a courageous witness for Christ. Eventually, along with many other co-workers in the Iranian church, he was martyred for his faith. Christians throughout the world continue to be martyred for their faith. Yesterday, if you've been on Facebook or you're in the news or connected to any of these things, you will see that there is a lot of persecution going on in the world against Christians. Yesterday, I had such a difficult day because I read a couple of articles we were sharing among us ourselves, and we realized that there has been a lot of killing in Nigeria. They're not United Methodist doesn't matter, they're Christian believers. One article read, Nigerian church burned, at least 32 Christians killed in 3 separate attacks on Plateau State villages. News reports out of Nigeria indicate Muslim Fulani herdsmen have launched more murderous attacks against Christian villages. Morning Star News reports at least 32 were killed, and a pastor's house and church building were burned down in 2 nights of the attacks last week in that area. And looking at the map, I brought a map. I gave you all a copy of the map, which I saw last minute, and I had on Facebook. I brought you a map to give you an idea about what it means about, you know, having the light of Christ and sharing the light of Christ, and your life depends on this. Your life depends on living if you don't show the light, and if you show the light, you may die. If you say you're a Christian, it may not have been inside the bulletin, but they were handing it out afterwards. But when you look at that small map, and I like anybody who doesn't have one when you're leaving to take one, it's a map of the world. And I wanted you to see when you know that we have it so good. Thanks be to God for the United States of America. We have it so good here to share the light of Christ. It's just a little thing like this, and you'll see there are pieces still there if you need one, because I saw it yesterday. Where do Christians face the most persecution? It shows you the top 10, all of these countries in pink, light pink, dark pink, as you can see from this map. You'll see the top 10 countries in the world that Christians are facing persecutions. It is North Korea, Somalia, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, Iran, Pakistan, Eritrea, which is in Africa, and Nigeria. Those are the top 10 countries that Christians, just for being Christians, are being persecuted because they're showing the light of Christ. Other areas you'll see are lighter pink. You'll even see in China, and there are places in India, China, and different parts of the world, Tunisia and so on, Turkey. You'll see throughout where Christians are being persecuted. But the contrast is, when you look, if you could see on the map, and because it's a copy, you may not be able to see it, in the West, it's only a couple of places. Yes, people can attack us in our churches, in our places of worship. We know that happens. Evil is in the world. We live in a fallen world. But you notice that in the U.S., the U.S. section, we really do have, if you see that part of the world, you could see it on the larger picture. This came out lighter, so you cannot see it. We have the freedom to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Yes, there could be evil, and someone may be evil and show up, but we have the privilege of spreading the gospel and letting our light shine. So why don't we? Why don't many of our churches and we in churches tell people about Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew 5:13-20, and it's subtitled Salt and Light. He says, "You are the salt of the earth," meaning us. "But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored?" Right? What does salt do? Salt gives food flavor, doesn't it? Right? Not only that, salt stings. If you have a cut or something, in the olden days when I was born in 1902, when you had a cut or something, they would get a little salt water. Right, because of the sodium chloride or whatever they'd put it on it. Now I've been going to a fancy doctor down here for my to do some work on my teeth, and they gave me a special mouthwash, you know, because I'm getting an implant for it. And when it was still hurting me, you know what I did? I got some salt water, warm salt water, and you know it worked better than the thing I bought in the drugstore, right? Because salt can be medicinal, but when you take it stings, or when you when you think the food does not flavor, and you put salt in it, it flavors the food. Have you ever sat with anybody at a restaurant, and as the food come to the table, before they eat it, they put salt on it? And I always wonder why they salt in the food, because they haven't even tried it yet. I always wonder that, right? But they put salt in it immediately, because they're looking for flavor. We are Christian believers, and we should be giving the world flavor, right? The flavor of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says that, and he says, it is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. That if it loses its saltness, who would use salt that doesn't change the flavor? Who would? No one would. So Jesus is talking. This is, whole section is from the Beatitudes. It's a continuation. It's Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And he continues in that Matthew 5 to teach his disciples. We are the salt of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world, Jesus says. No one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, friends, here's we're lighting this for something we're going to do today with the woman. But here's the light. And you could see the light, right? Can't you see the light? Anywhere you go, you could see light. When you're in darkness, you want to see light. People need to know that we are Christians. But I was looking for something to cover the light. And if you take the light, and let's pretend that this is now a bushel, a box. If you do like this, no one could what? See the light, can it? Right? There's no way for them to see that light, is it? I'm just demonstrating a simple box and thing science project. Right? No one can see it because it's covered up. Right? But when you remove the cover, you see the light. Amen. Friends, there are many of us who are Christian believers and who are light is not being shunned throughout the world. Or not even throughout the world, in our own community, in our own homes. There are many Christian believers who, in the house where they live, people do not even know that they are Christians. Because we come to church sometimes and we are Christian believers, and then we leave and we do not talk about Jesus to anybody else. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So as Christian believers, when you let your light shine, they will see your good works. See what you're doing in the world. See what you do through your church. The church is a conduit for what? For the light of its people, isn't it? As the church receives us, and as we shine in our church to our gifts and our giving and our love and our service, then the church can shine. Remember, it is not the brick and the mortar that is shining, right? This cannot shine. We are the church. You and I are the church, right? The church is the people. And when we come together, And our light come together, and the church is empowered to do together, that light can shine throughout Hicksville, throughout this community, throughout the world. Am I right, church? Amen. Right? We are the church. It is okay, you know, there are folks who spend their time always criticizing the church, criticizing what the pastor does, criticizing what the music does, criticizing what this, they don't like this. But I'm going to tell them today that when they stand before God, and we all have to stand before God, God is not going to be interested in their criticism. God is going to ask each and every one of us, what did you do to spread the light of Christ? That's where the well done comes from. God is not interested. I could find a lot of things to criticize everybody in here about. And Lord knows, I know you have a book on me. Which is fine. We could all spend our days, if I move a cup, that they may not like it. If I hold the communion one way, they may not like it. If I say a prayer, they may. And there are people who spend all their energy. My mother would say, and I'm sure you have heard it, you could give some people a half a glass of milk to drink. And some folks will say, it is half empty, and others will say it is half full. Right? We could spend all our time, but Jesus is going to ask you, how did you make your light shine? How did you make your little light shine in the world? What did you do to let someone else know about the gospel of Jesus Christ or the love of Jesus Christ? So Jesus' teaching on salt and light is likely, it's very familiar to all of us. And so as we read it, we notice the present tense. As Jesus tells his followers, he didn't say you were the light of the world. He says you are salt and light. You are now. We weren't salt and light yesterday. We are salt and light now, and we are in the present tense. We'll always be salt and light, won't we? We are to be. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus' teaching is not only about the kingdom of God. It's about us being part of that kingdom of God here and now. So here are the key points. Those who follow Jesus don't merely sit back and receive abundant life or simply tell others about what a great abundant life we have. Jesus is talking here about a life that makes a difference for others in the world. Yes, we have a couple of ministries here, several ministries that we are trying to make a difference in the world, right? To the food pantry, to the immigration ministry, to other ministries. But that's not enough, right? We need to let people know that Jesus lives and Jesus reigns and that Jesus loves them. And Jesus could change their life and their circumstance. Yes, we have begun. Yes, we have started, but we can't sit back on our laurels. We need to be doing things to tell the young people in the world, find new ways in our churches, find new ways in what we're doing to say we are the light of the world. We are the tastiness that adds salt to people's life. We are light that makes plain the justice of the kingdom of God. Jesus wants us to be light of the world. He's telling, he says, all the laws are going to be fulfilled. But when I see Jesus, I don't think he's going to answer. When I see Jesus, I'm going to say, Jesus, what a burden you gave us. Right? But he carried the greatest burden, did he? By dying and suffering. And all he's telling us to do, I've already died for you. You don't have to die. But you've got to tell people about me. But friends, there are people who are dying right now for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now in the world, there's somebody dying for Jesus. Just because you're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot keep covering the light. We hear Jesus says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel. No. He says, why would you light the lamp? Why would you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then put it under a bushel? Why would you do that? Has God been good to you? There are many ways to reach people through the gospel now. And we have got to find that way to do it. New ways. Unfortunately, for some congregations, our bushels have become our identity. For some congregations, not necessarily this congregation, but many congregations that we hear are dying all the time and closing, our bushels have become our identity. That means we're all in hiding. The members in the church are in hiding. You know, one of my most popular famous saying that I picked up, I says, we should not be in the witness protection program. The Lord has bust us out of the witness protection program. He said we should go be witnesses in the world. He didn't say we should enter the witness protection program. And friends, you know, I know about the witness protection program, not because I haven't been in it. You never know my past. I could be somebody else you don't even know. But you guess what's in the witness? You've got to get a good FBI or the FBI or the CIA. They give you a new name and a new identity and nobody knows who you are. That's, and you're in hiding. But friends, here's the deal. We've got the best FBI agent. His name is Jesus. Alright? So we don't have to stay in the witness protection program. Somebody here, he's not here today, one of our folks who works in the pantry, one day he was teasing me about something and he says, he came up and he whispered, he says, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I don't want nobody to know. Alright? He was being funny, tongue in cheek. I'm a Christian, but it's a secret. That's not what it is. We need to be proud to be a Christian. And we live in a great country at this moment when we can say it. Can you imagine if there comes a time in the U.S. when we can't say that we're Christians? Can you imagine? We better be careful, you know. Somebody reminded me in our Bible study today, when Rome fell, Rome was a Christian nation when Rome fell. But they had sinned against God. They had forgotten to let the light of Christ shine and they began to kill Christians. Rome fell. God has a way of doing that. We have a great privilege here. And we should take it that way and understand that we should not put our light under a bushel. We should find ways. Jesus calls us out on this in this time as his followers to let our light shine. He will give us the energy and the power through his Holy Spirit to let our light shine. We must unmask these bushels that human beings have constructed. We must disarm them. For ours is the light of all people. Jesus says, ours is the light of all people. You know, friends, when people come to you all the time and they're gossiping about things that are wrong in the church and wrong with the pastor and wrong with what the pastor does, and they're not going to tell you what's wrong with you until they're with somebody else. You know, I always say one person can gossip. It takes two people. But when they're telling you all that, because since we're not perfect, Scripture says, John Wesley says we're going on to perfection, isn't it? Jesus said to the woman, right, they were stoning her, the prostitute, he says, is there anyone without sin? Cast the first stone. So none of us are perfect. But when they're complaining about everything, you say to them, maybe if you just use that energy and do something positive. Why don't you do something? Do something to help the church. Do something to help somebody. Turn that energy around. Right? Turn that energy around and do something good in your church. Find something to do. Amen. That is going to impact the world. Make a difference in the world. And God will be pleased. We are the light of the world. Jesus reminds us today, friends. Let us find a way to be light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So let your light shine before others, the Lord said. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now the good news is that Jesus already has opened up the kingdom of God for everyone, regardless of who is righteous or deserving. The kingdom of God has been opened up for all of us, even for me, as imperfect as I am. Isn't that good news? Is anybody here imperfect like I am? Because I'm imperfect. I'm so imperfect. If you dust me off, you'll see more imperfection. Right? But thank God the kingdom of God is opened up for imperfect people. That one day I may become perfect when I go home to see him. John Wesley says, none of us will be perfect in this world. We are going on to perfection. Amen. When we see Jesus. God, Jesus would die for me, and he died for all the perfect people. We must be living bushel-free lives. Our lives shine with good news of Jesus. Our life must shine with welcoming the lost from death to life, from shame to forgiveness, from wandering in an alien land to coming home to God's very life. I want to tell somebody about Jesus all the time. Not about what I can do, but what the Lord can do for them. And Paul says today, as I say, Paul will say, When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't come to proclaim Christ to you because of my brain or any perfection that I have. I am as imperfect as they make them. But of what I know there's a God who has saved me through Jesus Christ. And the same God who saved me can save you and will save you and have saved you. And so I come proclaiming Him. And Paul says, I come to you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith may rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God to change lives. Your faith will not rest on my wisdom and my imperfection, which will always fail you, but on the power of God to change lives. That's what you need to rest it on, not on me. I'm a crackpot. One for better word. Now, crack is a new word you can't use anymore. You remember when we could say crackpot? I don't mean that kind of crack. Who knows? Can't use words anymore. You have to be so careful. I just remember that's another word that they've butchered and taken away from us. One writer says, and the church, and some people may agree that I am that other word. Who knows? But it doesn't matter what. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the church, he says, we do not want, as the newspapers say, a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world. We don't want to move with the world. We want to move the world by loving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And I just want to let you know as we close, good news. In the midst of bad news, there's good news. That I read in the paper, online, that because of all the persecution that's happening in Africa, in Nigeria, they killed the pastor and so many people. But thanks be to God for believing Christian. 5 million people marched against persecution in Nigeria last week. 5 million. They said in the state of Nigeria, Christians who have been dying got up. They said they declared a fast. The Christian Association of Nigeria organized a march to end a three-day fast. The people went on a three-day fast. In January alone, 100 people died. And around 5 million people marched in 28 of Nigeria's 36th state on Sunday to protest the beheading of the pastor I talked about by Boko Haram and the failure of the Nigerian government. 5 million strong. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That God would empower them through the power of His Holy Spirit. So friends, here's what we can do. We are a little church here, but our prayer is powerful. So I've given you that little that thing. I gave you the little map. Please take one, and when you pray, I'm asking you in your prayer time, because sometimes when we have things that are visual, it helps us. I am asking you and encouraging you to lay your hands or put in your Bible and pray for the persecuted Christians throughout the world. Will you do that with me? Right? We can let our light shine in that way. Let us lay our hands on it, and God, in the name of Jesus, we will pray for them. Pray as their churches are burnt and their children are killed and they're burying their dead, yet they're standing strong and they're only being killed because they're Christians. And I'd like to say to the Muslims, I've been thinking about writing an article to the Post because the Islamic center here have come, and they have invited some of us to come to a thing to pray for the attacks on Muslim wherever and here and all over. And I wrote an email, which I will send to them, saying, how come I don't hear good Muslim getting up and speaking against this? How come I don't hear them getting up and writing things in the paper, good Muslim, and they are good Muslims, write against Christian persecution throughout the world in Iran and Afghanistan and places like that. I'll get up and speak against when they are put upon. But they need to get up and say, it is wrong. Like we as Christians must say it is wrong. They too must get up and say, it is wrong that you're killing Christians wherever they are. And so friends, I'm going to ask you to just keep this and pray. God hears and answer every prayer. And we're going to pray that these people who have to stand in their communities for the gospel of Jesus Christ will feel our prayers, sustaining them. In Christ's name, amen.